life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Zoe Avery.
Hello and welcome to Spirits Work, the metaphysical and spiritual show designed to open your eyes to the greater possibilities of life. Thanks for joining us. Those of us with the first time, what makes Spirits Work so unique is that every week my husband Mick demonstrates his exceptional gift of deep trance channeling live on air. He channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for a group of evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. They're an educational group here to give us knowledge and information we'd never have access to in any other way. And this week's show is more of listeners' questions. And if you would like to participate and call us with a question, or join in with our conversation. And it's, as I say every week, it's not a readings style program, but there are many of those on the wonderful BBS. So you can take your pick from those. But it's actually joining us with a question to do with basically asking Spirit Guide Gregory situations that you might be interested in to do with spiritual affairs or planetary affairs, anything really to do with humanity so that we can all learn and help each other. So it's toll free in the US, it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free, but it's only a quick call. So the number is 001-530-876-3222.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirits Work on bbsradio.com, every Sunday at 10 a.m. PST, at 6 p.m. GMT, we have another radio show, which is called Spirit Teaching. And you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 4 p.m. PST. That's midnight GMT. If you would like to know more about us, our books, CDs, book an Akashic reading, or any of the other enormous supply of different kinds of readings that we have to offer, we suggest you go visit our websites, which are at www.spirit-teaching.com and also www.mickavery.com. www.spiritsworkradio.com is currently out of action, being that we got hacked by malware individuals, but that hopefully will be up and running again very soon. As Sylvie said, I am a deep trance medium, which means that I am a pure channel for the spirit world, enabling clear, concise communication from those who continue to walk with us and who try to look after us. In this way, each and every week on our show, Sylvie has a conversation with our spirit friends so they can give us the perspective and benefit of their wisdom. And as a result, we can get a different perspective on life, which means having choices and options we never realized were available to us. When I go into the trance state, I won't know about anything that happens until they bring me back again physically. And that is how it should be, because we wouldn't want thoughts and feelings from my own mind getting in the way of the contact by the spirit world. So I'm going to say goodbye for now.
Thank you, Mick.
That's my bit. I'm done.
Wonderful.
I'm done. Out of here.
Dear. Okay. Bye. Gregory was asked before his physical life in the early 1700s if he would like to train to be the representative of this educational group who were going to be helping the people of the earth discover a more harmonious way of life. The group wants us to understand the implications of what we are doing to our planet and to aid us on a road to recovery and consequently raising the vibration of the planet in the process. They consist of eminent scientists, physicists and scholars, as well as ordinary people, and between them they have vast knowledge and insight. They try to help us to look at the bigger picture of life, to think outside of the box and explain situations that affect us and our future and the future of the planet. And of course, those who wish to come after us who haven't had a physical life yet. And I'd just like to say here, Mick did touch on it, that we do Akashic readings. If you would like to go to our website, www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out more about that. But basically, if you would like a phone reading with Gregory, then it's to do with it's a spiritual reading about you and your core energy and your pathway in life, your gifts of spirit, and basically marrying that in with your material life. So it's actually way too much in there to even brush the surface and surface upon just mentioning it quickly like this. Anyway, you can find out more about that on our website. And if you want to drop me an email at enq@spirit-teaching.com, I'd be more than happy to explain more to you and answer any questions you may have about that. Meanwhile, I do believe Gregory is with us.
Hello, my dear friend. With love and light, blessings to you, little bird.
Thank you.
To the wonderful Don Newsome and his ever-growing family. Yes. And, of course, to Donald Newsome, as well as Douglas Newsome, and all of the little Newsomes, wherever they may be.
Okay, that's great. Okay, so we do have some questions. Would you like to talk to us about anything before I go into that?
Yes, I would, as a matter of fact, my dear friend. It is to do with a situation which has illuminated, come about for some years now. That is, it's not just to do with a glib statement, as though humanity are then to turn around and look at something else, or some other animal, vegetable, or whatever, to be exploited to the fullest.
Okay.
It is to say, dear friend, that, and we make no judgment upon this one way or the other, but that it is to say that with the current fish stocks that you have upon the oceans, within the oceans as they exist at this day, you have but 5 years before all of the fish are completely exhumed, completely gone. So that's 5 years left of depleting fish stocks and then nothing. This means that this would actually have a traumatic effect not just for human beings, but also for the whole stability of the planet. Because without certain fishes, then other organisms will take a lead, take a precedent, which will mean that the oxygen we currently manifested, created within the biospheric conditions of the oceans itself, will then be depleted, which will simply mean then that the greenhouse gases and the effects of global warming will be exacerbated and speed up drastically. So this is actually not a warning, it's a fact. It is quite simply that there are difficulties aplenty within your world, but within this it's a case of speeding up the tipping point so that you actually don't just exacerbate your environment, you totally destroy it. The simple, and there is a very simple reasoning to correct this. And it will mean that all people who listen to this program and in subsequent times or whatever, however that should be manifest, that each and every one needs to be able to write to their member of parliament, member mm-hmm. of Congress, whatever their political figures are or allegiances, it doesn't matter because this is a global situation. And there is a very simple remedy to put all of this right. And if it was begun tomorrow, it would actually completely turn around the entire planet and its welfare. And it's a very simple remedy. And that is that every single bit of coastline that surrounds all countries that is a part of the division between the physical land mass and the water world, every single part of that coastline, apart from the obvious situations of harbours and ports and that kind of thing, must be conserved. That means not that you have no bathing or no people swimming in it, but that nothing can be caught to the extent of 2 miles from the coast. Not at least for the next 5 years. And in actual fact, all of that coast should be made ultimate sanctuaries for humanity to survive, and for all other animals upon the land masses of your planet too. Why is this so necessary? Quite simply because within these situations of the coastal areas between the land and 2 miles out to sea is quite simply the single point of place where all fishes, all organisms are created and are born, eggs laid, and then have their formative lives. This means that if you have a 2 mile exclusion around every single part of the planet and its oceans, it will simply mean that this whole manifestation will become completely protected and will become completely and utterly made safe. And it will not take that long to do it. It will mean that within 5 years you would replenish many of the fish stocks. Yes, I agree. Some fishes you would not be able to fish for at least 10 to 15 years. Orange roughy to begin with. Sharks also are added to this. You would not be able to fish for another shark for the next 10 years. That means that all shark fishing, all whale fishing, all of that has to be completely curtailed worldwide in order for there to be a resolution and restoration of all of the world's oceans.
Okay, so what made you say this now, today?
What made me say this today, dear friend, is because of the necessity for human beings to realize that you actually haven't got that long before you wake up. And it means that this is something that actually has to be galvanized immediately, as soon as possible.
Mm.
Not tomorrow or next month or next year. You cannot leave it another year. Simply allowing nations and cultures to fish endlessly is actually something that has to stop also. So it means that all of those fishing vessels simply need to be lifted out of the water and put on dry land for the next 5 years, at least, minimum. There can be no more fishing for all that time, simply because the fishes that you have left are the last remaining adults in existence.
Okay, and you're talking basically about the balance, the equilibrium of the oceans and the consequences of our planet if the biodiversity of the ocean is actually destroyed.
Yes, basically what I'm saying, dear friend, is that no amount of hybrid vehicles that you make or manufacture is going to alter one drop of it. If you do not deal with this issue, this is the central, foremost issue of your entire planet. It doesn't matter how many tons of fossil fuel you burn. If you do not sort out the ocean problem and the constant fishing, and say to all of the people who are doing the fishing at this moment in time, well, we have to go and find you some other form of employment for the next 5 years at least.
Mm.
And all of those situations, the whole and entire industry needs to, in a sense, be, how do you say, you cover it in moths?
I don't know, Gregory. I'm not sure.
You put moth balls in it.
Oh, I see. Yes. So it's just okay. But
yes.
You've spoken before about sharks and what would happen to the planet if sharks were wiped out, basically.
Well, they're 90% depleted now.
Yeah, absolutely. So that in itself is a huge thing.
Yes, and that was actually in 15 years it took human beings to do that. To wipe out 90% of all sharks.
And can you explain to people that haven't heard you talk on it before why exactly this is so worrying?
Yes, quite simply because sharks actually feed on the major fishes which feed on the kinds of plankton, the kinds of algae that actually create and produce oxygen for your planet. The plankton is what is the collection of little beings that help that algae to survive. The plankton is what actually continues to be around it, and all of that is eaten by certain kinds of fishes which the sharks feed from. And quite simply, what happens is when those fishes are simply left to run amok, what also happens then is that the detritus from the fish feces and also the remains of the algae as it sinks to the bottom, which then means it becomes starved of oxygen itself, cannot create it, and simply dies and decays, then creates another form of algae, which is blue algae, which is very harmful and creates hydrogen, various different kinds of and forms of hydrogen chloride and other very noxious chemical gases, which then go to make up more and more of a deeper depletion of the ozone layer.
Mm.
They're very harmful gases.
I mean, anybody who's ever tried to keep a fish tank, no matter really what sort of fish it is, I mean, even goldfish, can appreciate how easy it is to upset the balance of the water. And then once you've done that,
yes,
there's all sorts of problems. So,
absolutely
okay.
So. So what we're asking of you to do, it's a very simple thing, in a sense, that is to write a letter, to send a mail, send a word by vocalizing, send anything that you can which will underpin this and help people to understand that you actually haven't got that much time left. As I say, if you do nothing, in 5 years, you will have lost it.
Mm.
It will be gone.
Okay, so what do you suggest that people do? You know, obviously people still need to eat fish because it's such a valuable
yes.
part of people's health and well-being.
Yes, that is quite
certain
true.
Certain people anyway.
Yes, so it needs to be kept, it needs to be farmed in the shallows, that kind of situation. That is quite equitable. There is no reason why it should not be. There are certain kinds of fish which are perfectly all right to do that with, and that will mean, however, that those people who do that will have to be very careful of the kinds of foods that they give to them as well, so that they are not creating imbalances, particularly within the certain chemicals that they put on them in order to make them healthy and bacteria free.
Wouldn't it be easier just to eat fish, the kind of fish that can actually be farmed, like trout farming and that sort of thing?
But even with trout and salmon, you still have to have a certain amount of
chemical
inoculation because of the simple compact numbers of them. That's the reason for it. The point is, with good husbandry, right balance, pH balance and that kind of thing, the correct acidity or alkalinity, it will simply be a matter of course. However, what you have to do is to minimize the actual effects of their feces and all of that, their waste products, so that you minimize the cost to certain parts of the ocean in which they are grown. However, as I say, friend, if all of the ocean barriers between land and sea were kept as isolated, how can I say this, gardens, if you like, free from human habitation and extortion, it will simply mean that all of those fishes, whether wild or whether in captivity, will be able to grow in harmony.
I mean, anybody who's kept fish would know as well. I mean, that would be the thing, that if, as long as you don't keep too many in the one environment,
yes, quite
then
so.
That would lessen the chemicals. I mean, you can keep fish without, we used to keep koi, and you can keep them
without
chemicals,
yes,
as long as you keep the water well.
Yes.
Filtration. And
yes,
that
absolutely
sort of
so. But this is in the water margins of the sea, so
yes.
It's not going to be something that's harmful, but that with care and due diligence of the actual ocean surrounding, that this should be possible to undertake.
Yes, but likewise, surely there could be people that actually take this upon themselves to actually create themselves a living, an income from
absolutely
structuring and manufacturing fish farms.
Yes, absolutely so. And that's something then that the fishermen put out of work can do.
Absolutely, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, keeping them alive rather, well, you know, to a certain extent. But
yes.
I mean,
but they still will need processing. They
yeah.
will still need all of
I
the
know.
Other things.
And the thing is, you know, until human beings have got an option, and in a way, that might be a better option, especially if it was cheaper and not more expensive.
Yes, quite so.
I mean,
absolutely
that would do it,
so. Yes.
Wouldn't it?
Yes.
So, well, that's very interesting. Well, let me know, anybody, that if they hear back from their MP or, you know, that councillor, whoever it is that you decide, your mayor, I don't know, various parts of the world will call them different things, but anyway, somebody who makes all of the rules, that would be great. Let us know if you hear any feedback from what you've sent out. So,
yes, sir.
Anyway, if you'd like to join us with a question to Gregory, then you don't have to talk about this, but you're more than welcome to. The phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. The number is 877-876-5227. That's in the US. And Canada is 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222.
There is one other thing to add as well with that, is that even just as though you have large farms for cattle, mm-hmm. why not do away with the cattle, forget the cattle altogether, and dig some large pits and have them turn them into fish farms instead? They don't have to all be salted fish. It can be trout, or it can be salmons, which live
yes.
in that captive environment.
Obviously, you wouldn't have the diversity of all of the different types. But the, you know, hey, blimey, I don't. You know, when you see all the fish on the counters in the shops, you wonder how they what they do with it all. They must throw loads of it away.
Exactly. Yes.
You know.
Exactly. So they must, in fact, do.
Yes.
Throw a great deal of it away.
Yes.
And that is a pointless, totally pointless exercise. Should only actually have on the counter what can be sold rightfully within a day.
Can you farm cod? Because good old
yes.
British fish and chips, that wouldn't go down very well.
Coley is just as good, friend. And coley can be farmed the same as tilapia, the same as many other fishes.
Yes, I think tilapia already is, isn't it?
It may well be that you actually cut down on the explicit variety
yes.
of fishes
yes.
that you have,
yeah.
which you then eat. But that in itself will make it more, because in many respects, human beings respond very well to certain kinds of fish, usually quite oily fish. So there are only specific fishes that you need really concern yourself of.
Yes, because exactly. Exactly. I mean, so you do agree that we do need fish, human beings, in the main?
Well, in the main, most people do, yes.
And not everybody eats it, but...
No, of course
not. They should.
I
A lot of people
that.
Should, shouldn't they? If they really want to...
stay healthy.
Yeah.
In this present environment.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, it's more of a necessity in this present environment than it was, shall we say, 300 or 400 years ago.
Yes. And then if it was there were less cows, then the methane situation would be cut down as well,
wouldn't
it?
Depleted greatly, yes. Mm.
So anybody who's wondering what to do with some land that they've got.
Turn it into a fish farm.
Exactly, and get
Absolutely.
In there first. Exactly. Okay.
Yes.
Well, thank you for that. It's very helpful, I'm sure. Okay, I have some questions here from the UK Collective. Dun, dun, dun. Okay. And basically, it's to do with the third eye. This is one of the questions.
Yes, Faith.
The pineal gland. How best can we look after this? Are there foods we should avoid? Are there chemical compounds like phosphates and fluorides we should avoid? What do you have to say on this?
Phosphates and fluorides. Well, my dear friends, certain phosphates you need as a physical being. However, they need to be as trace elements rather more so than the large impacts that you tend to swallow up in your daily diet. To do with the pineal gland itself, I understand that many people become so fixated upon matters of physicality and the imagery that they receive or the situations that they receive to do with their own spirituality. Sheets of spirituality are not necessarily directed at one particular part of you. It may well be that the pineal gland allows certain situations to translate within the physical brain mechanism. However, it remains to be that it's really in fact to do with those spirit beings who work with you to find a way of manipulation or of making contact. It won't necessarily come through the pineal gland at all. It may well be that their communication is completely abstract, or maybe through your fingers or through your feet even, like elephants. They communicate a great deal through their feet and their trunks. So perhaps you might feel then that you actually communicate much more through your nose than you really value yourself. Part of what human beings do is tend to concentrate upon certain specific areas. Yes, there are obviously balances, nutritional needs, that have to be weighed when in the consultation process and unification of yourself and spirit.
Hmm.
It is most certainly, dear friend, that there are many such situations that you have to be very careful of. It's not just to do with food and balance, however. It's also to do with the things that you use, the objects that you use, will have a drastic effect as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, dear friend, instead of using a cellular phone or mobile telephone,
cell phone, yeah,
and putting it up to your ear, what you should be doing is in fact attaching a headset with a microphone or some other such effect. I understand that there are little devices that will just fit into your ear.
Mm-hmm.
That will allow you to then talk remotely away from this said telephone type and form, so that you then will be able to communicate more freely. This is, in point of fact, part of the seat of problem that many people have in physical life. It doesn't come from the amounts of phosphates that you eat or the different chemical abstractions that you take into your physical body. It does a little. It has an impact on the value and pH of your physical body stuff. Being that you are 98% water means that it has a very definite value. And that is how you have to look at your temple of light, your physical body, as though it was a captured tank of fish. So you have to keep it in the same kind of balance as you would a tank of fish. The other matter then to do with cellular phones or mobiles are actually to do with the radio waves they transmit and receive, as they will fry your brain. Simply put, what you have to understand, dear friend, is that Nikola Tesla when he was alive, now on our side of life and with us, thankfully, Nikola Tesla was working on different abilities with radio waves to transmit different situations, both sound as well as energy, and also radio waves can and will and are able to transmit violence.
Go on.
Within radio wave patterns at certain specific frequencies, human beings will be able to take the life of another human being when directed to do so.
Carry on.
So this means that the potential is already in existence within the use and operation of the technology of cellular telephones. Part of what the structure is upon the physical life is in fact the innate qualities of radio waves and their transfiguration to the human identity, as well as other animals, bats, butterflies, and bees. Many other forms of life are completely abstracted by these radio waves. I have to cite also, my dear friend, the possibilities that you can create devices of specific vibrations in which to transmit to certain animal frequencies so that they do not venture into certain areas. So, for example, the technology already exists for the current situation of bovine TB that has so far been supposedly encapsulated by the existence of badger creatures. The point is that badgers, even though they may carry and have TB as a part of their physical state, because they have a weakness toward it, but that of carrying it rather than manifesting it as a disease is in fact quite simple. That what you would do is that with the use of radio waves to carry the right frequency of which badgers cannot cope with simply means you can create corridors of where they can move from one place to another. Where those frequencies simply don't exist. And you will find that a whole group of badgers will simply march in single file straight across a field and would not actually entertain any interaction with any cattle or anything. And it would be simply a device which would be able to put on a post and with a series of relays around a field. And it would simply run off a 12, a voltage battery. You wouldn't even have to run it from mains electricity. So all of the situation that you can do with creating matters to do with radio waves, their frequency and transmission, are already plainly available. This means to say that the abilities of various different groups to be able to manifest this is already on the table, is already present. So the way that you or the signal for telephone frequencies are currently brought about are actually matched very much to the human frequency of certain parts of it, which are wholly detrimental to the human thought and to the human brainwave activity, as well as figuratively the actual structure of the parts around the inner ear workings, as well as the receptors leading to the physical brain.
Oh, joy. So, are you saying that, so what are you saying about cell phones then?
So what I'm saying, dear friend, is that you need to use the other apparatus that can come with a cellular phone.
Bluetooth.
Yes, I believe that's what it's called. That you simply put in your ear and you have the telephone itself, the transmitter and receiver is in your pocket. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
So it's away from you.
So what
it's when you are talking to it with it up against your ear that you are actually frying your brain at the same time you're doing it.
Okay, so it's okay when it's closed up in your pocket, because I often think when it's, you know, like in your groin, in your trouser pocket or in your top pocket, by your heart or whatever, you know, that this is not good either, but that's okay.
Well, it's not necessarily perfect.
No.
I am suggesting here, really, that you wear it on, that you put it in a pocket of your jacket or something like that.
Away.
Or better still,
furthest away from your skin, the better, wherever it
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely. You can hold it at arm's length and keep it away from you that way.
Mm. I mean, this is something else that we won't really know an awful lot about until much later on, I guess.
But because there is no transmission of evidence because it has been kept out of the public domain.
Mm. Yeah. So, okay, well, let's go. Well, that was a nice little excursion, Gregory.
Thank you.
The pineal gland. So how does that work then? And like the question was, how can we
the
best
the pineal gland itself works more like an interfrequency diaphragm. So it enlivens, enables the positive focus of frequencies from the universe to come through you or not, depending. Now, I would suggest, dear friend, that there are certain foods, most definitely, that would benefit from this interactivity. As I say, particularly the drinking of water within specific pH values, which will mean that usually between 7, 7.5, something like that, of a pH value is the most harmless in water value. The problem is, however, for human beings, is that there are usually many, many different forms of mineral and chemical within the water supply as well. So you need to have some kind of a filter, which is why we always advocate the use of a carbon filter in order to utilize that.
Mm.
Alternatively, of course, you could collect rainwater and squeeze it through moss or something like that.
Mm. So, okay, so that's the water. What about foods? You said there are foods?
Yes, yes. There are specific foods that will help to do with, for example, kelp, seaweeds, that kind of thing, which will also, of course, increase the bone structure, skeletal structure as well, and give you a good basis of mineral salts and elements, which, in a sense, it saves you from taking little pill-like things for multivitamins and all of that. All you need to do is eat some seaweed. I'm not advocating that you eat whole groups of it or anything like that. You just simply need to munch on a little bit, perhaps, particularly if you're feeling depleted. The other things that you eat are plenty of vegetables, and but you must be careful of the amount of carrots that you eat. You don't want to eat too many. The situation with other root vegetables is very good, so that you need to include those as well within your diet. Also included in this are different things like cabbage and other greenery. That's very good for you. Yes, nuts, pulses, and that kind of thing. Of course, if you can't eat them and your physical body tolerates them, if it doesn't, then simply move to a different form that will. Many people are not wheat tolerant, which is actually obvious because most wheats are actually creating very great problems of diabetes and that kind of thing, particularly within certain tribal groups. And I really don't expect people of different tribal group nations, particularly those of North American stock and also South American to a certain extent, as well as other peoples of other nations who have, shall we say, for example, of peoples of the continent of India and likewise different places like that will also have a great deal of problems with wheat itself, purely and simply because they cannot digest it, manifest it, and it will simply turn their blood count, sugar count, into a great many swings and roundabouts, yes.
Mm.
But this will also, of course, then naturally have knock-on effects to the pineal gland and also many other parts of their physical body anatomy.
Mm. Okay, well, let's stick on the pineal gland at the moment. Why are these good for you then, for your pineal gland, these particular things that you've said?
Well, really basically because they constitute the right kinds of mineral balance, the right kinds of foods that are free foods in a sense. You can eat as much of it as you like and it will never harm you. Mm. Apart from carrots, you have to be a bit careful with carrots.
Why? Because of the sugar?
Because of the sugar and the carotene within them, it can become actually quite toxic if you are not careful.
Mm.
So only eat a normal, nominal amount of carrot.
Mm. So what about foods that we should avoid then? If we're trying to develop our third eye?
Yes, well, certain foods, dear friend, to avoid are sweet, sticky things, for example. Even though I know that many human beings have a good taste for them, it may well be something that's completely not advisable. For example, that there are some natural fruits and natural sweet things which are actually very good for you. Licorice is one.
Mm.
And that there are many native peoples, groups, who used to eat a great deal of licorice, not only to clean their teeth with, quite strange really, seeing as it was black, but that actually they used to find that it gave them very good breath and also settled their stomach, created a much better balance for them not to have ulcerated stomachs or that kind of thing. And they also then had a much healthier heart. And from this also comes the rich texture of the fact that these were, in the main, also very symbolic and ritualistic foods as well, as for different, very specific reasons.
Mm.
They tended to bring a sense of well-being too, I understand.
So you should avoid sweets and candy and that sort of thing.
Yes, although, as I say, natural licorice is actually very good for you.
Yeah, yeah.
But the ability of being able to get it from the bush itself is actually very restricted at this moment in time.
Yes. So why would this be bad for the pineal gland development?
Well, actually, really, dear friend, it's because the rich sugars that are available in those kinds of foods, fruits, and really mainly to do with synthetic foods, that it tends to be an overload. So it creates abundance of the wrong kind of chemical interaction, which then depletes the pineal gland, not heightens it. It also is part of the reason why it's a food that you should never give to autistic children, even though I know that they crave for it, but that actually natural chocolate would be much better situation to give to them. As with many other children as well, they will find that given these kinds of refined sugars, and that kind of situation, it would create a total imbalance. They would actually not be able to function well at all, even within their own conscious mind, yet alone moving through matters within the pineal gland and to do with effects of their further sight of the universe. It was simply trumpet.
Okay, well, you actually mentioned seaweed earlier on, and
yes.
I know that there are certain seaweeds that aren't good for you.
That
from
is true.
Certain specific parts of the world. Is that right? Or is it a specific seaweed?
No, it is quite true. It's really that you have to be very careful of where seafood comes from in the main, in any event.
Well, we don't know most of
well,
the time,
Well, part of
do
this
we?
Is to do... No, quite so. And part of this, of course, is to do with their association. So it's not necessarily the seafood itself, but moreover, may well be to do with the actual husbandry or the malpractices of human beings who are creating that pathway. For example, there are many different kinds of seaweeds around the coast of Japan, which are actually extremely good for you. There are certain kinds of gatherings of chemicals from the ocean floor, which is also extremely good for you. The trouble is the association that people, human beings, have in the main to do with people from that country, whereby their association with the annihilation and continual slaughter of whales leads them to be less than desirable. Continuing also what then that vein is to do with all Norwegians and Icelandic peoples and different other forms of Inuit peoples. I understand their own treaty to want to carry on their own ritualistic behavior for the good of their own ancient memory and ancestral delights. However, their ancestors are not pleased and are not listening. It simply means that it's just within the minds of those who wish to promote it and to continue to promote it. It's simply not a fact.
Well, and likewise with the fishing situation that you were just talking about.
Yes, absolutely so.
It's just lack of knowing what else they can do anyway, or lack of somebody else actually coming up to them and saying, okay, look, we're not going to do that anymore. Let's do this. This is much more lucrative for you.
Yes.
You can feed your family, you can get more money,
Absolutely. It's exactly the same as the clubbing of seals.
Oh, yeah.
And all of the many, many thousands, hundreds of thousands that are destroyed at that time, it's pointless, absolutely pointless, because in many respects, many of the articles of clothing manufactured from that process actually end up in situations that, for many people, they don't actually realize that that's what it is. Or
just because you can, it doesn't mean to say that you should. Do you know what I mean?
No, quite so. Just because it was a tradition for centuries and centuries doesn't mean to say that you continue to do it in the face of absolute adversity, when it's in fact going to endanger the entire situation, or even endanger even the locality.
Well, and not only their progression as well, spiritually, when they get to the spirit world, because they will have to deal with it and take the consequences of that. So, can we just go back to, we are going all over the place, this is fun. All right, now then, we're talking about the pineal gland and how to keep that healthy and what to avoid, etc. Now, basically what you've told me is sensible, healthy diet, certain things to make sure that we eat, other things to avoid. Now, I know lots and lots of mediums
that love sticky cakes.
That are very, very unhealthy.
They love sticky cakes. They love to eat biscuits in vast quantities. Yes.
So it doesn't seem to alter, it doesn't seem to affect their mediumship abilities.
How do you know that?
Well, I know, because then you can say, well, how good would they be without that?
Exactly.
But they are.
That's what I'm saying.
I know, but they are good mediums, shall we say.
Maybe.
So that's interesting.
Is a matter of identity. It's not necessarily a matter of fact.
So, instead of saying, well, just think how good you would be if you went back to your development and continued to work on that, we could just say, well, let's see how good you would be if you gave up eating this, this, and this, and changed your diet to something very healthy.
Yes.
That's quite something, actually, if you think about it. And that can go with all of us in our development when we're trying to enhance our psychic and mental mediumship abilities.
Absolutely.
Isn't it?
Yes, eat an apple, eat a banana, eat an orange, eat something else, a stick of celery, whatever it is.
So what organs does this affect that it's going to have consequently affect an effect on the pineal gland then?
Well, it's really to do with the vast sugar intake. That is the point. And the fact that it's refined. So it means that it's not just sugar. It's to do with all of the other things that are added in to do with it, that give it part of the taste, part of also the addictive state as well, because biscuits and cake and that kind of thing are very addictive, those which are manufactured. And it's actually because of the combination of chemical structure which is added to it that makes them addictive. oh, I want more of those.
Cookies and candy.
They're moorish for a reason, because of the chemical substitutes that are put in them that makes you crave them.
So we need our...
Like cigarettes.
So we need our internal organs, specific ones, to be functioning clearly.
Yes, that is true.
To work media with our vision.
Yes, absolutely so. Just because it's happening down there in the stomach doesn't mean to say it's not affecting what's going on up here.
Because the pineal gland isn't just seeing, is it?
No, it's actually to do with the whole sensitivity actives. Sensitivity actives, which are to do with your heightened sense of awareness. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
In many different ways then, through sight, through your ears. Exactly the same way that you may say, well, a blind man does not necessarily, will not see spirit. That's true, absolutely. But will sense far more than you ever will. So it still means that whatever sensitivities are being created within that pathway and how that person is being overreactive, perhaps, with a change in their evaluation, within the change of their constitution, perhaps because of their various sugar diets or sugar intake, or even just a change in their water, will simply manifest a different activity within the pineal gland and within their other sensitivities, which will mean they will be distracted or will be some form of abstraction of energy from what they would otherwise be developing. That is why it is so critical.
Yes, you mentioned that about stretching your senses if you haven't got sight, because there is a walking meditation that you can do as well, isn't there?
Yes, absolutely.
With your eyes closed.
With your eyes closed. And it's actually because of the structure of how people without sight, who have never had sight, are able to structure themselves that they can even stand up. The reason why I say this, dear friend, is quite simply because oftentimes what happens with human beings with sight, that if they close their eyes, they start to fall over. And the reason why they do that, why you do that, is because you are always adjusting to the level of your balance with your eyes and the horizon line.
Okay.
So simply when the horizon line is in balance, you are balancing that within your inner ear. And this inner ear balance then enables you to walk straight and true. Imagine then what happens when a person has no sight, does not have an understanding of horizon or event horizon to watch or observe, even subliminally.
Nothing to gauge.
How is it then that their perspective is going to be altered when they have no sight to gauge it by? Quite simply by other factors. Their sensitivity of their hearing, in fact, becomes enlarged with any luck and within the insights of their own personality. It may well be, unfortunately, that the person is deaf as well as blind. In which case, of course, you have other situations which will come into play, usually through sensitivity of the skin, hands, that kind of thing. After all, the skin around you is the biggest organ that you actually possess. And it is possible for your heightened awareness through the auric field of your skin and the sensitivity of your skin to be transmitted exactly as I said, in the same way that elephants feel and sense through their skin of their feet as well as their trunks. It's not just about hearing or seeing. In fact, they've got not that good a vision. So the situation of what they mainly rely upon are the sensitivities of their feet to do with the different ways that they feel the vibration of the earth in front of them, or they simply feel the vibration of the earth, period.
Yes, I mean, you can do a walking meditation if you find a large area, a large flat area.
Yes.
And you have somebody with you. It's an interesting experiment to do, to actually, stretch your senses and just...
To heighten them,
to heighten them into something other than your vision.
Absolutely so, friend. I feel that it is absolutely essential, which is why, of course, we brought about the inclusion of it in your new book.
Yes, yes, which will be downloadable soon, and you can look for that on the website. Yes, but, because I don't think people realise that, it's a good way of actually switching off from your sight, because you don't realise how much you rely on it all the time. And when you are trying to develop your either mediumship gifts, psychic gifts or whatever, or just basically heighten your senses, as we say, then to eliminate sight is a big help.
Yes, absolutely
so. To hear things and sense things in a completely different way.
Yes, absolutely so. It gives you a completely different picture and heightened sensitivity and awareness.
Mm.
It makes you almost so that those in the spirit world are able to manifest different situations given to you through your sensitivity that you otherwise may not have experienced.
Mm. Okay, well, thank you very much, Gregory.
Thank you.
It's been fascinating.
Blessings and love and light to all of you. Enjoy your day. God bless.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed the show, and thank you so much for your question. The UK Collective, we do have more that we will be reading out next week. It's wonderful where where we go with these questions. I think we've just been about everywhere with that one, and that's fantastic. So we've covered a lot of ground. And do visit us at spirit-teaching.com if you want more information about us and our readings, etc. And my name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. So until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Bye.